Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about the fascinating phenomenon of deifying and demonizing the wealthy. And this will be an extension of the discussion in the book, Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom, The Nature and Effect of Money. On that book talks about the nature and effect of money on you as an individual, on your personal development journey, the nature and effect of money on relationships, and on the world at large. And we've spoken about a number of other topics related to this. And as we've come into talking more recently about wealth and the effect of wealth, let's focus for a little bit today on other people's money, which is a delicious topic. We really, really love to dig into all kinds of facts of other people's money more than we do our own. But one of the interesting effects that this has is we look at people who we believe are wealthy, by whatever definition you think is wealthy or not. And then sometimes, certainly not for everybody, but we either deify them like they're perfect or we demonize them like they're 100% awful. So let's take a look at this. This is really, really interesting. And I've got some interesting questions for you to examine your own mind towards the end of this. So, you know, as a society, we, as humans, we typically look up to the wealthy. Typically. You know, we track them in popular culture as celebrities. And now, I bet you can name your favorite billionaire. And I'll bet you can also name your most hated billionaire, the one that you just feel is just evil. And it's quite divisive, actually. You know, we see other people's wealth, or what we think or perceive as other people's wealth, and we make assumptions. We assume that they must be smarter than the rest of us. Or we might assume that they must be devious and evil. Ultimately, we're trying to understand how they ended up with these resources, and we didn't. That's what's really going on. You're trying to be like, how is it that they have those resources and I don't? So we start making assumptions just to help us try to explain this thing that we don't understand. And we rarely... This is what's really fascinating. We rarely assume that it was blind luck. Sometimes we do. The funny thing is that often it actually was blind luck. Timing is everything. The right idea at the right time makes for a great business. I don't care who's running it. And funny enough, there's actually research to show that. I think I saw this at least 10 years ago. We'll have to go back and look it up. There was a piece of research done on, take all the different new startups that venture capital has funded over the years, and they were trying to study them to say, what about these companies turned them into unicorns, right, with huge valuations? And, what was it about, other companies in the same cohort who didn't do as well. And they thought that the results would be that it was about the management team or the experience level or the education level of the management team. Or maybe it was going to be about how much funding they got when they started. That's what they thought they were going to find. Or maybe it was about, which state or country the business was starting in. Or maybe, some aspect of their customer base. This is what they expected to find, right? And they wanted to know this because then they thought, okay, this will tell us where to focus our venture capital investments. But what happened was they found out that the management team didn't matter that much. It kind of mattered, but it kind of didn't matter. Where the business started didn't matter. Who the users or customers were didn't matter. How much funding they got didn't matter. What industry they were starting up in didn't matter. And the one thing, the only thing that they found that mattered was the timing. That's it. A good idea at the right time. And nothing else mattered. And so, you know, you can think of that as kind of blind luck, because maybe you're pretty clever at figuring out what the right time is, but not usually. You're just kind of winging it. You go, hey, I have a good idea, and you put it out there. And it either happens to be the right time or it doesn't happen to be the right time. Or it didn't happen to be a good idea. But those are really the factors. So the right idea at the right time makes for a great business. It doesn't matter who's in charge. But we don't like to think of our lives as being driven by chance that much. You know, some billionaires are truly brilliant business strategists. They do happen to be great business strategists. And others just kind of fell into it and learned along the way and got smart because they had to. And some might have used untoward business practices to get there. Some did, some didn't. And we see each of them as a deity to be followed and mimicked, or we see them as a demon to be lashed out against. And what we rarely do is see them as human, which they all are. Every one of them is just a human being. They're just people. They're not deities. They're not demons. They're somewhere in between, just like you. They are imperfect. Just like that person you see in the mirror every day. We demonize the wealthy as a way to justify our own lack of wealth. Or I should be more specific. We demonize the wealthy as a way to justify our own perception of lack. Our inability to see our wealth, be it wealth of money, wealth of love, wealth of joy, wealth of opportunities, everything. Because if the wealthy are evil, you know, we don't want to be evil. Therefore, we don't want to be wealthy. And we convince ourselves that wealthy is so bad. So it's a good thing that we're swimming in debt or, you know, just getting by. But deifying the wealthy can have that same self-oppressive result, right? So you have some people that will demonize them and say, oh, having this wealth is horrible. And so this is, you know, it's a good thing. The fact that I'm not wealthy, the fact that I'm in debt or just getting by, or always having a hard time or lacking of money shows that I'm a good person, right? That's not true either, is it? So then you have a different group of people that choose to deify the wealthy, right? So, oh, okay, well, what if I say I'm going to deify the wealthy and I'm going to model my life after them, and this will help me to become wealthy too? But it can actually have the same self-oppressive result. See, when you deify a billionaire, used to be millionaires, but that doesn't get you very far anymore, does it? So now we deify the billionaires. When you do that, you're creating a large separation between you and them. So you're essentially saying that they are wealthy because they are particularly special in a way that you could never be. It could never be you. When you create that separation between you and them by deifying them as if they can never do anything wrong and every decision they've ever made was brilliant, that distance actually separates you from the concept of wealth. So the result is the same. You never try to improve your situation because you think, oh, they're so special, I could never be them. But what if instead you saw them as human? They've made some bad choices. They've made some good choices. They've had some smart ideas that had some good timing. They had some persistence in the right situations, and they walked away from the right situations. And if you studied instead the full range of their humanity and the full range of their choices, then you could pick out the ones that actually were useful and smart that would then be right for you. And the other choices that, well, may have been right for them, but aren't right for you. And if you bring them down to earth, not below and not above, but right there on the same level with you, you can learn from their experience without taking the wrong lessons, right? You can study their experience and study their choices and their methods. And from there, choose what's right for you. So if you can see with a clear eye what they've done that sort of just worked because it was blind luck, and what they've done that worked because it was actually a smart strategy at the right time, and then you can ask yourself, is now the right time, or is that time gone and a new strategy is needed? So here's some questions for you. What wealthy individuals do you deify? You put them a little too high on the pedestal. And which do you demonize? Do you put them a little too low? And more interestingly, when you think about that list of people, why do you do that? Why do you deify this one and demonize that one? And are you using these mental gymnastics to justify keeping yourself in debt, or to justify keeping yourself in a situation of lacking, or just getting by, or not making progress, or whatever? Are you using other people as an excuse for your situation? Because that's what it comes down to. And so digging back in your own past experiences, how do you feel about wealthy individuals in general? Not any like specific one, but can you kind of back away from specific individuals and look at the big picture and say, how do you feel about wealth in general, in others, in yourself? And it's important to analyze your thoughts about money. And if it's terrifying to look into your own mind of why you feel the way you do about money or wealth or abundance of whatever kind, that's what you're really looking at, right? That the more terrifying it is to do it, the more you need to do it. Because your thoughts and feelings and association with money is a representation. It's a symptom of your thoughts and your feelings and your association with abundance in general. Indeed. And so this is why I put out an entire book about money. This is why money is part of several of the different stages on the cycle of your journey. You have to face it. That doesn't mean you have to choose to be wealthy. You may be here to have an experience of poverty, and that's what you've chosen, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to know why you're choosing what you're choosing so that you can really own that choice and go, this is what I choose. This is what I would like to experience, and own it and sit in your power with it. So think about those questions. And individuals who are wealthy, focusing on the, you know, the Jeff Bezos and the Elon Musk and the Mark Zuckerberg and the et cetera, and so many more that you actually don't know their names, but and that's a good thing for them, but that's a topic for another day. Pointing out these people can help you get to the root of your feelings about wealth in general. So try that exercise. It's really, really interesting to see the kinds of feelings that that may invoke in you. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, just want to tell me about an experience that you've had or how this worked out for you, follow the link in the show notes and tell me what's going on in your world. Let me know. I love to hear how these exercises turn out for you and any extra thoughts and ideas and suggestions that you have for the community at large. So let me know what's going on in your world. Thanks for joining me today. And as always, I'll be wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.